Welcome back to the Cox Wright Report podcast. I'm your host, as always, Damian Parson. And back on the show, it's been a little minute, but back on the show, I got Steelers enthusiast, Steelers apologist, my man Ryan Hurley. What's going on, bro?
What's going on with you?
Ain't nothing, man. Sunday morning, just chilling, you know. Wish it was some football on today. Well, I mean, if you got NFL Network, around like 1 o'clock, you can watch the whole red zone of whatever week they're doing. I do that sometimes. They just play back all the junk. Just to give me that football fix, because there's really nothing going on right now. I don't watch soccer or none of that other stuff. I watched Venus yesterday in the barbershop, but that was about it.
I've been catching like a few of the summer league games, and then I catch boxing whenever it come on HBO, but yeah, not too many sports going on right now.
Nah, so it's just pretty much, you know, family time, just chilling out, working, grinding, doing whatever you got to do over the summer until football hits, and it's like, yo, hey, it's money time, man. But
one week to training camp.
I'm telling you, and I'm excited about it, dude. But as always, guys, I want to thank everybody who supports us. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter, CouchRR. We do follow back. We get into all type of discussions, basketball, football, some MLB, whatever it is, you know, whatever catches our eyes, we jump into it and just like to have fun with it. We do troll, so if you say anything stupid, I'm probably going to, you know, at you. But it is what it is, though. It's all fun. It's all love. Again, follow us and find us on Facebook. Same thing on iTunes. You know, hit us up, subscribe, share, leave a review. I don't care if it's 5 stars, 2 stars, whatever. Just leave a review. Let us know what you think of us. Podomatic, you know, just go to Google, period. Go to Google, type in Couch Ride Report. All our stuff's going to pop up. It wasn't like that at first, but we got a lot of content. We got a lot of traffic. And you can find us straight through Google, man. So holla at us, all right? But yeah, man, it's like Ryan said, 1 week to training camp. It's training camp season. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers edition of training camp. We're going to go over the keys and storylines right now. So first down, let's jump into it. Let's talk about the rookie impact. Let's talk about the rookie. You guys did a pretty – I mean, we talked about the draft. We graded your draft after the draft, of course, me and you. So when we look at the draft, you know, first round, T.J. Watt, outside linebacker. Second round, Juju Smith-Schuster. Third round, the 2 third-round picks, you guys got Cameron Sutton and James Conner. And I'm also intrigued about Joshua Dobbs, low-key, just because, you know, Ben, I don't know if Ben was just pulling like that Brett Favre, I want you to love me type of deal. I'm thinking about retiring. Ben, you would never think about retiring, Ben. But just in case, you don't want to be stuck with Landry Jones. So
I don't think nobody wants to be stuck with Landry Jones, man. You
got
to go, man.
So, I mean, you don't want to be stuck with Landry Jones, so you pick Joshua Dobbs in a uber-intelligent young man, athletic, yeah, nice arm.
Everybody say, like, he's super smart.
Yeah, like, if I mean, they said something, if he wasn't playing in the NFL, he could be, like, a scientist or something. Like, they say he's intelligent out of this world. So,
I think he really went to school for, like, to be, like, a rocket scientist or something
Shout out to the intelligent black men out there, man. That's what I'm talking about, baby. Shout out. You know what I mean? We're not just athletes, baby. We out here scientists-ing it up. You know what I mean? We some, yeah, rocket scientists. Hey, that's not my field. I don't want nothing to do with that. But, you know, Joshua Dobbs, do your thing, big homie. But yeah, let's get into it, man. One of the things I'm looking forward to, Ryan, and you probably agree with me on this, is just seeing how you guys use your rookies. You know, how use T.J. Watt and Juju, Cameron, and James Conner. Brian Allen, I want to see what, you know, you guys got him in the 5th round. I do want to see what happens with him, you know, whether he ends up being a practice squad guy or it's just a special teams guy, whatever the case may be, because he's got that size, a 6'3", 215, you know, to be a physical, long-rangey press man corner. And, of course,
from an athletic standpoint, like, he checks all the boxes that you look for and, like, that fit. Physical press man corner, but because he's so raw at the position that hasn't had a lot of experience at it, it's going to be interesting to see what he does in camp.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of Steeler Nation doesn't like Russ Cockrell. I'm not part of the Steeler Nation. I'm Pat's Nation all day, but I hate Russ Cockrell. I would prefer y'all keep him starting, to be honest, just because we have to play y'all.
I bet you.
That's just my personal, you know, viewpoint on it. But at the same time, just from a football perspective, when I take the Patriot side of me out, I hate watching this guy play because I don't, you know, Pro Football Focus threw out some stats. I saw it pop up on Twitter the other day saying that he was good in certain aspects, and I'm like, whatever. Dude's not that good. I can't stand him. So
yeah, he's like an average corner, like
right. So I'm intrigued.
Like he's one of those corners, like he can stunt on a team, but if you got somebody better, then yeah.
Yeah, you gotta. Yeah, exactly. Like if you know, he will probably be a Browns, like a 5-year starter for the Browns. That's the where I'm at with that. Like he'll be a long term starter opposite Joe Hayden on the Browns. Like, okay, I can start 5 years here, make my money, and then take a nice little deal before I retire because I won't get any more offers. He's that type of corner, you know what I mean? But I like Cameron Sutton. I like TJ Watt. You know, he has that crazy motor. He doesn't stop. And then pairing him up with, hopefully, Bud Dupree takes that next step as because he's a physical freak. So if he could take that next step.
Bud Dupree getting hurt last year really hurt his development because he didn't play until almost the end of the year.
Right. So, I mean, definitely getting him rushing the passer, you know, not dropping back. You want him attacking Brady, so instead of him dropping back.
Well, in the playoffs last year, they like let Bud Dupree go, and he was getting to the quarterback, except and then the Patriots game, they just wanted him in coverage, which I would never understand the decision
It was like a three-man rush. They dropped eight people back.
I would never understand the decision to just rush 3 yard day. Like Brady, some rookie that just be like, oh, I can't figure out the zone, son. Like, he picks apart zones. Everyone knows
exactly. So I was just like, well, okay, you know. But, you know, y'all defense coordinator Butler, I'm like, all right, man, you know, I'm going to let you get paid to do this. I'm going to let you do your thing. Continue to do it, though. Continue to do it. Even this year, zone, Butler. Just go straight zone. Don't even man up. Just zone Brady all game, please, so we can get this dub and keep going. But yeah, I mean – like I said, I'm intrigued to see Cameron Sutton because he can play zone and he can play man. He likes to press, so I'm intrigued to see what he does. Intrigued also to see how you guys use James Conner. And you know, the surprise pick that you guys made out of the whole draft was Juju Smith in the second round. So I'm expecting him to get to fight for snaps, especially in the three wide receiver set.
Juju was like the curveball pick. Like, that was one of the picks that I was just like, what?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of the GMs on the other teams were like, all right, let's see what the Steelers got. They got to go defense. And then Juju Smith, I'm like, whoa, wait a second. So, okay, all right. It just threw everybody off. Like, all right, whatever, Steelers, do your thing. Now we got to look at our draft board. Like, all right, so they pretty much let the guy we wanted walk, possibly. But that was a curveball, so I'm like I said, for him to go in the second round, he has to. There's no other way to explain it. He has to be fighting for snaps, you know, and with the three wide receiver set. I know he'll get in on your four wide, five wides, but will he push Eli Rogers and Ayers, who were, you know, Eli Rogers was a nice little slot machine for you guys last year. You know, I believe he could, if you guys, like, I mean, you talked before that he may be, you know, fighting for a roster spot. So,
I don't think he's really fighting for a roster spot necessarily. Because, I mean, I think he showed enough last year to make the team, but it's just fighting for snaps. And that spot last year, he really had nobody. It was basically his job to lose, and he pretty much earned that slot receiver position with that. But now, with the return of Brian, now we got Juju Smith-Schuster. So now it's like, okay, now he got competition for that third wide receiver slot position. So it's going to be interesting to see how that turned out.
Right. I mean, Mike Mayock called Juju Smith-Schuster a smaller version of Mike Williams. Mike Mayock may be the most reaching this. He reaches more than any other analyst during draft time I think I've ever seen. Like a smaller.
Are we talking about Clemson's Mike Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Yes. So I'm just like,
their games are nothing alike.
Nah, not at all. Like their games not are nothing not alike. At all. Mike Williams is a jump ball guy all day long. Like,
I don't see that comparison at all.
He is Dez Bryant 2.0. So, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, Mike Mayock, you know, but nobody ever checks Mayock. They just let, hey, Mayock say he's going to be the next Mike Williams. Mike Williams is a rookie, so what exactly is he being the next of? Like, I don't, okay, whatever. But, you know, you let Mike do his thing, you know, do your thing, double M. But, Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm ready. I'm really intrigued to see how you guys use your rookies, man. How you guys use these young players. Will it contribute early on? Will it contribute, you know, because you guys had no problem. Of course, you kind of didn't have a choice, but you started Artie Burns. You lived and died with his decision-making and everything like that because he's a rookie. He's going to make some good plays. He's going to make some bad ones. You allowed him to learn from it, play them all year, you know, which I believe is a good thing. That's how you do it, you know, let the guy play. Sean Davis, same thing. You know, I expect a better year out of him. I expect him to make a little bit of a jump and everything like that. So definitely a true.
Well, they started Sean Davis as corner, like in the slot, because Golston got hurt in camp, so they had to play him in a slot corner position. But then they moved William Gay to the slot, and then started Artie Burns full time, and they moved Sean Davis back to his natural safety position. And once he moved back to the safety position, like, he played really well.
Right.
I think it was like after the Cowboys game, then like he played really well the rest of the season on.
True, and I mean, like I said, definitely just intrigued to see how the second-year players look in camp, of course, and then how these rookies, the mix of the rookies, you know, will T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree become just that ferocious tandem that you wish you would have had with Jarvis Jones and Bud Dupree, but Jarvis Jones just never played the same way as he did in college.
Jarvis Jones is pretty much the Cardinals' pass rushing savior now. So.
Oh yeah, they could they could have all that.
I wish them the best with that.
Like, yeah, have fun. You please have fun with that. I don't really, man. That's
I never liked the Jarvis Jones pick in college. His college numbers was all smoke and mirrors. If you watch, they moved him around a lot. They matched him up on right tackles. They matched him up on tight ends. A lot of times he was unblocked. He just never showed me much of his pass rusher in college.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of him either. He was a menace in college, but like you said, it was a lot of scheme stuff. You know, a lot of moving him around, getting him matched up on lesser talent, which, I mean, it's great coaching, but from an individual player's perspective or standpoint, you know, it doesn't show how good you actually are. It just shows that they found a way to get you successful reps, pretty much. So that's all that is. But, you know, definitely intrigued about the rookie class and seeing how you guys use them. My eyes are really going to be on the top three picks, T.J. Watt, Juju, and Cameron Sutton, to see what exactly you guys do with those three guys, those three young rookies, them young pups. But yeah, let's transition, man, right to second down. And I know you want to.
My eyes really going to be on T.J. Watt and Sutton the most. Like, Juju, I mean, if he's I don't think he's going to start, but he's going to play.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, with him, like, I'm really not worried about him too much, but, like, I care more about Juju.
Oh, I can't hear you, bro.
T.J. Watt and Cameron Sutton, the guys that I have my eyes on the most. Those two are the two that's going to be important for the season.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that, because you don't really need Juju to be a big impact player, because, you know, your offense is lethal. So, you know, just until the playoffs, but no shot. But when you look at the defense, T.J. Watt could be an impact player as well as Cameron Sutton to help raise the level of that defense, put more athleticism and youth on the field. Like I said, and if T.J. Watt can hang around Debo, James Harrison, the old wily vet, hang around him long, you know, but could learn to be a pro's pro and just soak up as much energy. And of course, he has his brother in the NFL. He can continue to learn from him as well. I'm pretty sure they may be working out, you know, in this, probably at this very moment today, they might be working out or whatever. But
yeah, well, actually, he posted a video on his Snap with him and J.J. Watt working out.
So yeah, see right there. So I mean, you already know he's got the NFL bloodline, you know, to stand on. But just like I said, getting with James Harrison, of course, and just learning from that old veteran man will be huge for him. And so yeah, I just want to see what you guys do with Juju, just for the fun of it, because he was a second round pick. I just want to see what y'all guys do with him. But Cameron and TJ, definitely the two guys I'm looking out for.
And what they say, TJ Watt is, they say from a technique, Antoine, like, his techniques are really advanced for a rookie.
Yeah, and when you look at, because, you know, anytime a guy isn't the most athletic, you always want to see what his technique is like. You know what I mean? Joey Bosa last year, he wasn't the most athletic guy, and I don't, and he doesn't have that bend that we talk about with, like, Devon Millers and Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis of old. He doesn't have that bend, but he's so technically sound, you know, is where he gets those effort sacks. Because a lot of his sacks actually were effort sacks.
That's how they described TD. Why they said his motor is nonstop and his hand usage is so far advanced for a rookie.
And that's what you need though. And that's the same way with us with the Patriots with Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers isn't the most athletic. He's strong as an ox though, but they call him Mr. Technique because they say he's the most technical defensive lineman we have when it comes down to his rip, his bull, his swim move, everything. You know, whether it's from the outside or the inside. So definitely those are good reviews to hear, you know, from a young guy. Because, you know, young guys usually come in like, hey, I'm just going to use my athleticism.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way, you know.
Yeah, once
Tyron Smith gets his hand on you, you're dead, man. It's over. You're going to the ground. Tyron Smith gets his hand around you, you're going to the ground. Joe Thomas, you know, a lot of these great cornerstone tackles. Yeah, no, you're not just going to beat them with athleticism. You got to have moves.
Because once you get to the next level, everybody's athletic, but you got to have that mental part of the game down. You got to be a technician.
Exactly. But yeah, let's jump to the second down. You know, let's talk about, you know, the Steelers special teams. I know you said you had your eyes on them. So what exactly are you looking for with the special teams?
Our return game. I don't remember the last time we had a good
Sammy Coates
game. Our return game has been awful for like years. But with the addition of Nile Davis, I think Nile Davis is going to help give us a spark in our return game. Because I believe I looked up something in the stat that I think we had one of the worst starting field positions in the league.
Sheesh. Sammy Coates got the juice.
Our return game has just been awful.
And I mean, I can see why.
Hopefully they can take AB off of his punt returns.
Yeah.
He's 28 now, so I mean he's getting older, so we don't need him.
You want to preserve him, yo. Like,
yeah, we don't need him to keep doing repunt.
Now, do you think with Juju being there, do you think, you know, if Juju takes some snaps from Eli, do you think they put Eli Rogers back there?
I think so. Well, Eli Rogers, he did return one or two last year, but I think he muffed a punt, and then they took him off after that.
Ah, he had that Cyrus Jones thing going on.
Yeah.
So, well, Cyrus Jones muffed like seven of them, so, you know, it just took a little bit longer for him to get booted off a punt return. Bill Belichick was a little too trusting in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, him or Ayers, I feel like, because I never, like I said, like we talked about, I never understood why Sammy Coates was, who was the other kick returner besides Sammy Coates?
It was one of the other running backs is not there no more. I forgot their name.
Was it Toussaint?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Toussaint. So, yeah, I see where you guys had some bad, you know, starting field position when you got guys like that as your kick returner. So, you know, definitely having Davis is a hitter.
Before we had Sammy Coates back, then we had Wheaton back there.
Oh yeah, I forgot about him too. Yeah,
Wheaton got hurt. But Wheaton was hurt. Got hurt, and then they put Sammy Coates back there. Then they tried Toussaint. It's just nothing worked.
Yeah, you could tell that. So I mean, which Wheaton
and
got
Sammy
the
Coates,
juice?
Every time he touches the ball, he just makes me nervous.
Yeah, he.
Like, when you watch him return, it just makes me nervous. Like.
He let me down, man. Sammy Coates let me down. You know, I did an article on some potential breakout players, you know, with Martavis Bryant being suspended last year. He had the juice, bro. Like, it was his time to step up and be that speed demon down the sideline, which he did. He showed that he could get behind the defense. It was the fact that he couldn't catch some of the passes. I think it was the Jets game. He dropped, like, three touchdowns.
That Jets game was bad.
I was like, yo, did he just, like, I literally was, I think Marv hit me up because we was in fantasy, you know, and he was like, yo, what's Sammy Coates looking like? And I was like, bruh, not good. I was like, I think he caught a touchdown or two. I said, he could have had a lot more than that, bro. Like, he just dropped them. Like, he couldn't catch a cold that game. And then he broke his like hand or something like that.
Yeah, he had a hand, and I think he had a like a cut on his hand or something like that.
I don't know. Sammy Coates just disappointed me all around last year. I stuck my neck out there for him. Like, come on, Sammy.
It spoke volumes that when he recovered from his hand injury, like he still didn't get a lot of playing time. they played Kobe Hamilton over him. Like, that speaks volumes.
Oh yeah, and then I think if I'm not mistaken, he dropped both of them. Dropped one in the AFC Championship game against us. So,
yep.
I mean, hey man, listen. In all honesty, from a Patriots fan, if you guys want to keep them starting, you know,
I mean,
be my guest.
What does it say about you as a wide receiver when Darius Haywood-Bey is more reliable hands wise than you are?
Facts. And he never was known as a guy with hands, so I completely agree with you on that one. But
and I actually don't mind when Haywood-Bey is on the field, because he 9 times out of 10 when the ball's thrown his way, he catches it, and there's always a big play.
Right.
So I'd rather play Haywood-Bey over Sammy Coates.
I don't blame you at all. I mean, do you think Brian Allen will carve out a role on y'all special teams, maybe as a gunner, on the kickoff and kick return unit, just blocking and trying to make tackles, just to carve out a niche so he makes the roster? Or
I think that's going to be his best way to make the roster, the special teams. He's going to have to, just because the way the corner situation is, unless he like shows like something tremendous in camp, his way to the roster right now is probably going to be these special teams, and hopefully he earns playing time like as the season goes on. But special teams is definitely going to be the first way for him to earn his way onto the roster.
True that. Yeah, I guess, I mean, definitely want to see what happens with the return game. Niles Davis has, you know, returned a few punts and kicks, you know, big, and I know he, cause I think it was not this past playoffs, the playoff 2 years ago against the Texans, I believe, he returned one. He opened the game up with a return, kick return for a touchdown. Just spot on, you know, I think it was against the Texans, I can't remember, but I remember him returning one, because that was the week before they came to New England, and Andy Reid just completely screwed up the clock management of that game. But definitely, he could be a big bright spot just to help you guys. You know, of course, you already know if you take the touchback, you go straight to the 25. But you definitely don't want to take the ball out the end zone or take it from the one or whatever and get knocked down at the 20. And you lost 5 yards, you know, from field position. So definitely getting a better kick return unit. Getting better kick returners back there would definitely improve just a potent offense. You know, like I said, get a potent offense and give you guys better field position to where they don't have to drive 75 yards, 85 yards for a touchdown or to get in the field goal range or whatever the case may be. But definitely intrigued to see what happens with your special teams.
We just need something on special teams. I'm just tired of it, man. It's like every kickoff is like I already know like where the ball gonna get spotted at. I'm like, yeah, these guys I get back to 25. It's basically to the point where I don't even want them having anybody back there to just let the ball
bounce out the end zone.
Come on, just don't even do it, dog.
Hey, listen, man, you know, just you don't do it on kick return, but Sammy, just call a fair catch. Just call a fair catch, Sammy. I mean, you normally do that on punts, but just call a fair catch. Don't even think about nothing else, man. Just, all right, fair catch it. We take it at 25. But like I said, we definitely want to see what happens with your special teams. Let's jump into third down. Let's talk about your the left tackle battle, you know, on Alejandro Villanueva. I'm about to call him Andre Villanueva. Alejandro Villanueva was your left tackle last year, former Army veteran. He played well. He's a mammoth of a guy. 6'9", 6'10", in shoes, I believe, 320 pounds. But he's athletic as can be, what they call a dancing bear.
He is huge. Like, his wingspan is crazy.
And until I looked to see how tall he was, I always knew he was taller than most linemen. You know, when I would see him out there, I'm like, man, that left tackle is big, yo. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, I never knew how tall he was. But like I said, he's athletic. He's a dancing bear. He's athletic as can be. So when you see him, and now you guys, you're like, I forgot the young man's name that you guys drafted out of LSU last year. But you have, like you said, you have that tackle battle going on because Villanueva, who's 28 years old, which, I, if I'm not mistaken, he will be 29, I think, in September. So, yeah, he's creeping up on that 30 mark pretty quickly. And most of that's because he hasn't played for a long time because he was, you know, in the military. So having him playing well, you know, he may have played his way out of a contract, though, because he may have overpriced himself pretty much.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I mean, premium left tackles, we already know you got to pay to keep those guys.
Right, exactly. When you have that type of, because that's me and Marvin was talking about that the other day. If there's one position in the NFL that doesn't have the best crop of talent, as in starters or elite talent, it's tackle. You know, when you look at it, it's a lot of good guards, a lot of good centers, but it's only a few, hand down, only a few legit left tackles in the game. You know, Tyron Smith, Joe Thomas. Oh man, you know, Villanueva is good. Who else? Taylor Lewan over there in Tennessee.
Matt Khalil.
Matt Khalil. I mean, he's decent.
Was it Ryan Khalil?
I think Ryan's the center, isn't he? Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Whatever. Khalil.
Then you got Jake Matthews in Atlanta.
Yeah, Jake Matthews. You know, Jason Peters is a good wily old veteran. But it's not, you know, when you say the elite left tackles, you're normally talking about Joe Thomas, Tyron Smith. You can now put Taylor Lewan up there. Donald Penn has been good for Oakland, but I wouldn't call him elite, though. You know, I wouldn't call him elite exactly, but you have good tackles, but you don't have a ton of elite, you know, tackles. So that's one of the positions that the NFL has to do better at. Really getting the best out of their talent, because you could have all type of great guards and centers, but if your left tackle is getting beat religiously, you're not going to really be able to move the ball whatsoever. So having that tackle back, because like I said, if he has, especially this year, this is going to his last year, if I'm mistaken, for Villanueva, if he plays to the level he finished the year at all year, consistent,
I think he will. Like, the Villanueva, he's just like the ultimate professional. Like, even though he hasn't signed his tender yet, he's been showing up to camp, working out, staying at the practice. And so, I mean, he's a true professional. I mean, and from his standpoint, like, I think he should get paid. Like, he's earned that paycheck.
Yeah, he's earned it, yeah. I mean, he served the country for a little while, kept us all safe doing this thing over there, and then comes to the NFL and keeps Big Ben safe. Yeah. So,
but at the same time, it's also a business.
Exactly.
I don't think they can afford to pay the money that he's going to command on the open market. That's why I think, like, that tackle battle with Gerald Hawkins, I think it's going to be something to keep a real close eye on, because, I mean, they love Gerald Hawkins.
He's a big guy. LSU produces some good linemen, man.
Hurt last year, so nobody got to see much of him. And Gerald Hawkins can play both tackle positions too.
Right.
So he's a swing tackle.
That's an intriguing battle for real, because if Villanueva plays consistently the way he did at the end of the year, he plays there from week one all the way through the playoffs or until the season's over for you guys. Hopefully the season's over in New England. But however, however it goes,
New England, and that's where the season ends.
No,
for you guys, but
not at all. Not trying to have that.
We're gonna say that for another show.
Exactly. The one thing I'm not gonna deal with you, Javonna, and the rest of Steelers Nation trying to troll me all year, all off season next year. So Patriots, stand up and get this dub. but yeah, I mean, if he outplays his contract where he's going to command elite tackle money, you know, having Hawkins prepared and ready is going to be key, you know?
Yeah. Man, Mike Munchak has done a terrific job for the offensive line.
Yeah, like, you guys' offensive line was boss last year.
He is one of the best coaches that we've ever had. Like, I've never seen an offensive line perform like this since probably, like, Ben's rookie year.
And that's the thing, you know, Big Ben is your money. And the way that it's funny, because Villanueva, because the way, I mean, you know how I feel about Le'Veon Bell. He's Him and David Johnson are the two best running backs in the league until Ezekiel Elliott, you know, shows consistency. I got to see him do it for at least another year before I put him up there. But when you look at how Le'Veon Bell runs as well, his running style is similar to like a scrambling quarterback. Like, you never know where he's going to wind up because he's behind you and he does a lot of he jukes and jives back there, looks for the hole. He's patient. I call it dancing at times because it is. But, you know, you have to be athletic to still hold your block, move side to side, have that range of lateral motion. And because if you aren't, look at like Villanueva, he's, like I said, he's athletic. If that was some average or bigger, slower tackle, Le'Veon Bell would probably get hit in the backfield because they can't move along with him. You know what I mean? So I'm intrigued to see that battle too, because if Hawkins could, you know, you get him the snaps he needs in training camp and practice and preseason, pretty much, because that's what we're doing in New England with when we drafted Antonio Garcia. We plan on using him to build him up this offseason and this year, because Nate Solder's going to be out. You know, his contract's going to be up, and he's nowhere near elite, so I don't want to pay him. Put the young boy in. So, but Villanueva's so much better, so it just depends on what him and his agent are asking for. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, the way I see it, I think Villanueva ends up leaving.
Right.
In the offseason, just because I don't think they can afford to pay him.
True, because, I mean, you got to pay Bell. You just pay AB. Isn't Martavis Bryant going to be coming up on the contract?
No. When you suspend it for a year, that adds like another year to your.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think Bryant has two more years before he's up. Shazier's is up for a contract soon.
I forgot about him. Stephon Tuitt as well, though.
Yeah, I think Tuitt gets a new deal in camp.
True.
I don't think Bell gets a new deal, though.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Bell gets a deal this year, and I don't think Villanueva gets a deal this year.
No, I think they wait on Bell for next year. Let him play out there. I mean, it's 12.5 mil that franchise tag he's getting?
And the highest running back right now is McCoy. I think he's like 8 mil.
That's crazy. These running backs need to get paid a little bit more, but I'm a former running back, so I'm biased. But I want these guys to get paid a lot more than they're getting paid. But definitely, man. So, you know, definitely keep our eyes on the tackle battle. So that's third down. Let's jump just straight to fourth down before we close out the show. The safety depth. We all know you guys got Sean Davis back there. You have Mike Mitchell, and it's crazy because we talked about this before. Those two should flip positions because Mitchell is more of a strong safety than a free safety, in my opinion. He's a hitter. He can come down the box and lay the wood and pretty much help in run support while you allow Sean Davis to be more of the playmaker in the back end.
And after those two, all we have is Robert Golden, who's he's not that good.
No.
And then we signed safety from the Titans, Damian Stafford. And he's more of a hitter, box safety type of guy.
Right.
But I think the way they're going is because I think they want to do like a hybrid defense. You know, everybody's going with these safety linebacker hybrids on third down, things like that. So I'm thinking that's what they're going to try to use Damian Stafford for. Because I really believe they wanted Owe Melifanu, who went to Oakland. So they couldn't get that hybrid player, hybrid linebacker role that they were looking for.
Thank you, Oakland. Thank you so much, Oakland.
So they couldn't really get that hybrid player that they were looking for. So I think that's probably role they use for Damian Stafford. You know, because a lot of teams are going for these hybrid roles. Because on third down, teams got these tight ends going up the scene, and you can't put linebackers on them. You can't put corners on them. You gotta put a safety on them.
Right, exactly.
So everybody's going with these hybrid type of defense. So I think that's probably what they use Stafford for. Well, maybe Robert Golden, but I don't know. I'm not a fan of Golden.
I don't blame you at all. I'm not a fan of him either. So, I mean, I definitely, you know, just having – the main thing is just always having depth because it allows you to do so many things. You know, if you have – and it just all depends on the skill sets as well, because if you have two or three safeties who can all play on the field at the same time, where you can play one as a single high, you can bring one down to cover tight ends and let the other one roam or whatever the case may be, it just makes it makes a better matchup for your defense. You get more speed, more secure tackling a lot of times, you know, because safeties are supposed to tackle better than corners. That's just common knowledge. Whether they do or not, they're supposed to. That's just the nature of the position. You're the last line of defense. But if you guys can, you know, definitely have depth, start doing some more things on defense, it could really pay dividends. So I'm definitely going to watch that battle as well, just to see. Like I said, I really would like to see you guys flip your starting safeties. Flip Mitchell to the strong, put Sean at the free, because it just makes way more sense. Sean's a better, because of the fact that he can cover in the slot, he's better as a pass guy. And Mitchell isn't, he's a hitter, man. Like, he was like that in Carolina. He's a thumper. He wants to come in and lay the boom. He wants to lay the boom. And that's fine. But at the strong safety, I don't want you just being a later boom guy at free safety and having, you know, sorry to open old wounds, Chris Hogan running by you on the flea flicker. You know what I mean? It's like, right. So it's like, you can lay the boom, but I need you to be able to get back and stop deep passes, my man. Like, I need you to do that. Especially when you have a guy like Russ Cockrell out there, and William Gaze regressed as he's gotten older. That's why he's in the slot. So, you know, you don't have a bunch of lockdowns out there. So I need you to play more back end than linebacker, you know. So I would definitely keep my eyes on that battle as well, just to see what happens.
Battle, I really got my eye on that. I have no idea how that's going to work out. I don't even know if Damian Stafford is even going to make the team.
Right.
Like,
but I mean it's good to watch, though, because he possibly comes in, shines, does his thing, and, you know, he can earn snaps, probably special teams, different things like that. You always need a heavy hitter on special teams. So he possibly could earn a spot on the team, but that's what training camp's for, man. And that's why we do what we're doing right now, looking at the storylines and the keys to every team, Steelers, Patriots, whoever, just to see what players will shine, what players will fold under pressure, you know, who can handle the spotlight, who can't. Who can make a name for themselves? It starts in training camp.
Right, and another battle that I'm kind of interested in is the tight end situation.
Ah, yeah.
Tight end situation is bad. I mean, Jesse James is okay.
But yeah, he's decent.
He's nothing special. I mean, we got Xavier Grimble. I mean, he's...
That's a big dude.
He's athletic, like really athletic. But his hands are this...
And like, I mean,
Sammy Coates.
Oh yeah, so you can't have that. And I know, you guys had a
tight end. The tight end, in my opinion, needs to be the surest hands on the team.
Exactly.
That's a safety blanket, and you got to catch the ball in traffic, and is always going to take that big hit after the catch. So you need to have like really good hands, and Grumble hands are just really suspect.
And I mean, I know you guys had a thief at the tight end spot last year. So I know how you feel about that. I've seen a lot of your comments on that, him just stealing money from you guys while he dealt with all those concussions. I'm not gonna drop names, but we all know who he is. So
that guy
Mister play.
And apparently players don't have to release like they medicals the teams or something like that, because nobody knew about his issues.
I don't know if it was because when he was in San Diego, when we had Browner back in 14, I don't know if we may want to blame Brandon Browner for his concussions, because he came across the middle on a deep cross and Phillip Rivers led him right into Browner, and Browner just cleaned him. It wasn't even the helmet to helmet shot, but I think he was knocked out for a little bit. And I'm just saying that if I was y'all, I would call Phillip Rivers and say, hey, you owe us some money because you caused his concussions, my man. This is your fault. Like, if you didn't throw him into coverage, Browner wouldn't have laid him out. He probably would have been catching 8 touchdowns for you guys last year. Who knows? But he stole a lot of money. So, you know what I mean?
He stole a lot of money.
You know, and did he retire or what? Like,
I don't know.
I know you guys released him, and I'm pretty sure nobody else is giving him a call. So, if I was him,
I'm pretty sure he'll find somebody else to
to rob. but yeah, man, that's all four downs. We're talking Pittsburgh Steelers, just the battles in training camp. We talked about the rookie impacts and what to look for with them, the special teams and the kick return situation. We also talked about the left tackle battle with Hawkins and Villanueva, and we finished it off with the safety depth and the tight end battle as well, to see what's going on there for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all know their ultimate goal is to get, you know, their what's the saying you guys have? Stairway to six or something like that?
Stairway to seven,
that's what it is. But, you know, we all know that they have to, of course, play the proverbial, well, the champions right now, my Patriots. So let's hope that stairway gets shut down or cut off in New England. But, hey, man, listen, yeah, I'm happy to have you on the show, bro. Appreciate you coming on. And we will do this again. That's, you know, because, you know, I like to take digs at the Steelers. And it's nothing more fun than taking a dig with you on the line. So,
yeah, I know. I mean, we all can't cheat our way to the top.
I mean, listen, you ain't trying if you ain't cheating. You understand what I'm saying? So, hey,
yeah.
our president's cheated tech. I'm not going there. But so I'm not even going to touch that. We're going to keep it. Hey, listen, we're going to keep it clean. We're going to keep it sports. I'm not even going to touch Mr. Trump before I get a phone call. So I don't want that phone call, Trump. We're all good over here. But, you know, I got better things to be doing, like working on my fantasy draft board. But again, guys, thank you so much for all the support, the love. You know, just share, spam this episode and the rest of our episodes. Ryan, I appreciate you coming on, my brother, and definitely we'll have you on again. Always, man, always a pleasure. Well, like I said, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the couch. My name's Damien, as always, your host. That's Ryan Hurley, bringing the real original sports perspective from our couch to yours. Thank you guys so much. You guys have a good night.